Power Hour. It's the what? Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and
every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crushed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like, how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy. We bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power.
The what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the what?
Power Hour.
It's the who?
Power Hour.
Shalom, shalom, Most High in Christ bless. Welcome to another edition of the Power Hour here on Wednesday nights, where we discuss Native, Latin, and Black biblical topics. I am Captain Amariah, and joining me tonight,
Officer Jehoiadai.
Officer Jehoiadai from the tribe of
Levi.
That's right. Levi can also be a cake not turned, right? All right.
Yes,
the scripture says that my heritage is unto me like as a speckled bird, right?
Yes,
can someone please tell the tribe of Levi that we also come as speckled birds too? Because I be catching flack. I've been in this truth now. It'll be 9 years in January I've been in this truth. And I've been told I'm not Levi a million and one times. More so by my fellow Levites than any other tribe.
Yeah. A lot of them, they're quick to make that judgmental in a heartbeat.
They think that you got to be dark skin and speak Creole, right?
You gotta be able to speak the Creole. You gotta be dark skin. You gotta be living in the country or born in the country.
Listen, listen. My hairline bears witness. All right. So, it is what it is. All right. Today's topic is I'm a child of God. All right. Now, I was just telling the officer prior to us going live, and sorry for the late start. We had a little bit of technical difficulties, but we're here. All praise the Most High in Christ. But the original way that the quick lesson was going to go quickly was thrown out the window when I saw this article with the Pope and what he had said. But the title still fit because he said that he's going to basically now pass some kind of law or honor gay marriage because they're children of God, right? Because they're children of God. So our people, when I say our people, I'm talking about the blacks and the Hispanics, are very quick to say that they're the children of God, right? Mm. They'll throw that out there real loosely, not knowing what it means, not knowing the gravity that comes with it, and not knowing that it doesn't pertain to just everybody.
Right?
To be a child of God means that there's obligations and stipulations for you to adhere to in order to be brought into that fold, right? Let me get Hosea 6 and verse 1. Let's go ahead and start the lesson. Again, the topic is, I'm a child of God.
Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us.
So that's the message that we're delivering to you guys. Every single platform that IUIC uses to push this truth in the four corners of the earth, because this truth is being pushed in the four corners of the earth, whether the oppressor or enemies like it or not. You can't stop what God says is going to happen. And his children, the children of God, are waking up to who they are. It says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he has smitten and has torn us, but he will bind us up. Read.
Verse 2. After 2 days, will he revive us?
After 2 days. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to get it, but there's a precept in the book of Peter where it tells you that the Lord sees time differently. The way that you see time, the way the Lord sees time is different.
Yes,
vice versa, right? It says that his day is 1,000 years, and his 1,000 years is a day, right? So It says after 2 days will he revive us. I mean, after 2,000 years of us going through these curses and slowly being stripped from our heritage, because it wasn't a right-of-way thing. The complete breaking was during the transatlantic slave trade when he said, take those yokes of iron and put them on our necks until he had them been destroyed. That's when we were broken completely as a people when our heritage stripped forever. But the Lord prophesied, listen, after 2 days, he will revive us. Read on.
In the third day, he will raise us up.
In the third day, he will raise us up. We are in that third day right now. Give me 2 Ezra, the 6th chapter and the 7th verse. We are in that third day now. It's high time. Paul told us in the book of Romans that your salvation is more near than you had believed. 2 Ezra chapter 6 and verse 7. Now, it's hard for us to believe that our salvation is so near to us because we see the afflictions. We see the atrocities. We see the things done to our people on a regular basis. But those things are done by the Lord because it says all things are done together for good. Whether we may see it as a bad thing, the Lord is using it to fulfill his will. Those things do nothing but increase our faith in these last days. Those things prove that we are the children of God. The affliction, the atrocities, because he said, I'm going to punish you like no other nation on this earth. They're living fat right now because this is their kingdom.
Yeah.
We got to suffer righteously the things that we brought upon ourselves until our Father brings us out of this captivity. Read that. 2 Ezra 6 and verse 7.
2 Ezra chapter 6, verse 7. Then answered I and said, what shall be the parting asunder of the times? When shall be the end of the first and the beginning of it that followeth?
So this is the question that the forefather Ezra posed to the angel. He says, listen, what is going to be the parting asunder of the times? Basically, when will this captivity be done with, and when will the children of Israel stop going into captivity after captivity? Because we had the major captivities, but when you read the scriptures and like the book of Judges is a great example, you would see that we had many micro captivities that we served as well too. Why? Because we're stiff-necked and rebellious as hell.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we are as a people. It says in the beginning of it that followed. When is this stuff going to end? The heathen rolling over us? And when are we going to finally get the kingdom that you have promised us since the beginning, since the creation? Read verse 8.
Verse 8, and he said unto me, from Abraham unto Isaac, when Jacob and Esau were born of him.
So we know that Jacob and Esau, Jacob is the progenitor of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, the natives, the Latins, and blacks, so-called, in the earth today. We make up the 12 tribes of Israel. We are the children of the Most High God, right? It says, now Esau also, who was Jacob's twin brother, that is the progenitor of the Caucasian race today. Every single person on earth today comes from somebody in this Bible. You just got to pick it up and read it. You got to apply the commandments to understand it. But read on.
Jacob's hand held first the heel of Esau.
You can read that in Genesis, the 25th chapter. And now he's quoting the history of that. When they were born, Esau came up first, and then Jacob's hand was holding on to Esau's heel as he came out second. Because it symbolized this. It was an allegory for the 9th verse. Read.
Verse 9. For Esau is the end of the world.
For Esau will be the last ruling empire. There's no such thing as Moab, which is the Chinese, rising up and being that superpower. Listen, if you want to really, really fully believe that the U.S. is what would they say, like $14 trillion in debt or something like that?
Yeah.
If you want to believe that, then shame on you, right?
That's crazy.
This whole entire planet Earth doesn't move unless this man says move.
Yeah.
He has all the power. Why? Because his daddy, Satan, gave it to him, right? We're the children of God. He's the child of the devil.
That's right.
That's just what it is. And just like how God is able to give blessings, so is Satan. Satan told Christ, listen, you serve me, I'm going to give you all these things, right? And we read that like it's nothing. Like, okay, and he said no. Come on. How many of you out there have been low on cash, needed help with rent money, right? Was hungry, was anything in our carnal forms in these bodies just going through it, And you think at that moment in time when you were going through it, if someone came and said you can have all these yachts and all this money and cars and houses and riches, you'd be like, no, I'm good.
No,
you're
not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, you're fooling yourself. It said, for Esau is the end of the world, read.
And Jacob is the beginning of it that followed.
And Jacob is the beginning of it that followed. But the point that I want to make here is that until the kingdom of heaven is restored to the Israelites and established here on earth, then there has to be a ruling kingdom prior to that. And that ruling kingdom, we're currently in now, is Esau's kingdom. All right, the so-called white man is ruling the earth. It's not the Arabs. It's not the Chinese and Japanese and the Africans and all these different nations. It's the so-called white man.
But the thing is, though, it can't be the other one because everything, the main source is Esau. Everybody comes to Esau for everything.
Right.
You know, money, food.
Money, food.
Clothing. Trying to get like a loan from things. They always come to Esau, but you don't go to the other nation for it.
Listen, if people like to try and force the course of the river and try to fit in all the other Gentile nations as not being Esau. Listen, let's say the white man's not Esau. Let's just say that for a second. He's still not getting salvation because salvation is only open to God's children, and
right,
God's
right.
children are the Israelites. Now, it's not just knowing you're Israel, or we're going to get that later on, because how many times do you hear that?
So many times, yeah, I'm an Israelite, but no friends yet.
We'll be at camp. I just heard it at camp this last Sabbath. We're at camp. Brother walks by. Oh, yeah, I'm Judah. It's like them. And you smell like Newport. You're eating a pulled pork sandwich. Like, come on. It's not just knowing. It's knowing and applying, right?
Yeah.
Now, can you pull up that article, soldier? With Pope Francis. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of Fox News, but it was the first one that I had saw. And, I mean, if this is not the age of decadence, then I don't know what we're in. Listen, every single kingdom has an expiration date. Every kingdom does.
Everything.
All right? Every single kingdom has an expiration date. Egypt, Assyria, ancient Babylon, the Persian Medes, all these things. They had an expiration date. So why do we think that America is any different? Now, just because the word changed from now being a kingdom to a country, it's still the same thing. It's the ruling power in the earth that has the authority to make laws and make everybody else move and go.
But that's one of the things that the nation of Esau does. He's trying to change things to trick us, to trick people. In time to trick people. He changed... trying to think he can control life to trick people.
All right. Actually, get that real quick. Daniel 7, verse 25. Let's just prove biblically exactly what you just said. Listen, Esau's dad is the devil, all right? The word devil is simply means to deceive. He's the deceiver. When we hear devil, we think of someone with a pitchfork and red with a knife and you're burning and someone's poking you. No, listen. The word devil simply means to deceive. And the greatest deception ever on earth is telling the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans that they are just that, blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, that they're not the children of God, but we are. Read that.
Chapter 7, verse
25.
Daniel, chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High.
Now, the he here is talking about Esau, which is the Caucasian race. How does he speak great words against God? By saying that he is God. Or by saying there is no God, or by saying anybody can be a child of God, right? Not knowing the severity that comes with being a child of God, right? Read on.
And shall wear out the saint of the Most High.
And how did he wear us out? In slavery, by stripping us of our heritage, by our nationality. He did the one thing that all the other captivities didn't do. He took it to a whole nother level. He said, listen, all these captivities, yes, they were sinning, and that's why God came against them. But now let's completely get them plugged in the matrix by taking away their name. No more will the name of Israel be in any remembrance. Let's call them African Americans and Haitians and Jamaicans and so on and so forth. But read on.
The Mosiah. And think to change time and law.
So now going back to what you just said, that's his job is to be crafty and change everything. Yep. He thinks to change times and laws. Now, when we get into this article with the Pope, we're going to see the law that he's wanting to change that's never been a part of the foundation of Catholicism, but in moving in the age of decadence, sin has to be pushed like no other in these last days. And we're going to show why the Sodom agenda is being pushed so heavy. I really don't want to make this about a sodomite class, mm-hmm. but listen, you can't ignore the elephant in the room, right?
You can't.
You can't do it. But it says they think to change times and laws, read.
And they shall be given unto his hands.
And they is the 12 tribes of Israel. This is this man's empire. We have been given into his hands to serve him because our father was pissed off with us. So now we're serving out our sentence under this man. He's the sword that God is using right now. Read.
Until a time and times and the divided of time.
Until the times and the dividing of time. So that's 3.5. So for a supposition of roughly 350 years, would we be in servitude serving under this man, wiped completely of our nationality and who we are? But that's what we started in Hosea. Listen. Although you've been smitten and you've been torn, the Most High will revive us, and we're being revived right now. Now let me get that article with the Pope. You're a Catholic back in the world?
No. Christianity.
Christianity? Yeah. Like heavy?
Yeah.
Like hardcore? Yeah. he said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, bring that up.
I can't see it over here. That's the problem.
It's like off-centered. It's like kind of to the lower right of the screen. You almost got it.
Almost there.
As you can see, the title says Pope Francis supports law for same-sex civil unions in new documentary. They are children of God. So that's his whole motivation for this thing is because they are the children of God. You know what, Sergeant, if you want, you can turn this around. That way you can see that article. That way you know where it's at. It's not important that I see that right now. There you go. Perfect. We good. There we go. Get that centered and then I'm gonna start reading it. It's a very short article. And again, it went with the title of the class because I was just gonna prove who are the children of God and who are not the children of God. But then I read this today, Captain Joel. Shout out to the Jersey Jews. He posted this in the captain's group. I said, man, I would be remiss if I didn't. And then the fact that he said that basically they're going to be granted these liberties because they're the children of God.
The Bible says that they're all the right. Children of God.
So let's go ahead and scroll up. I'm going to start reading it. It says, Pope Francis has voiced his support for same-sex civil unions. For the first time, as a pontiff during an interview for the documentary film Francisco, which premiered at the Rome Festival on Wednesday. Now, it says he voiced his support for the same-sex civil union. All right? First off, give me Matthew. The book of St. Matthew. Let's see if that's biblical, because his whole thing is he's supposed to be upholding one thing and one thing in particular. Now, we know he's not, obviously, because he's the devil the Bible speaks of. But give me Matthew 18 and
Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. Whosoever, therefore.
No, I'm sorry. Matthew 19, verse 4. Matthew 18, verse 4 is good, too. You can double highlight that as well. But for the sake of this class, we want Matthew 19, verse 4.
Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?
At the beginning, he made them male and female for one purpose only, and that was for marriage. To come together in the union of marriage, to have children, to be fruitful and multiply. That was the first commandment that he gave to man and woman, was to be fruitful and multiply. Now, going back to Daniel 7, when he says he spake great words against the Most High, this man says, no, you don't have to have male and female. You can have surrogates. Not saying that that's a sin in particular, as far as if you have a couple that can't have kids and then have the money, that's different. I'm talking about Esau making himself as God, and now they're trying to make it to where men can get pregnant and things like that. All these things are a slap in the face of the Most High God that created everything. But it says, in the beginning, he made them male and female. Give me Malachi 2, verse 7. Malachi 2, verse 7 is basically going to sum up in just one verse, in one verse in particular, why Pope Francis says that they are able to have these things because they are children of God. Malachi 2 and verse 7. That was good too. Right there, exactly right. That was good.
Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. For the priest's lips shall keep knowledge.
The priest's lips are supposed to keep knowledge. When you go to the priest, you're supposed to be fed with knowledge. Now, this says priest here, but today that's talking about your pastors. Anyone that's set up in any kind of organized religion, you're supposed to go to them to seek knowledge. Not shucking and jiving, not singing and dancing, not how quick you can blast pass the collection plate, all right? How quick you could empty out your wallet, that's not what that's about. It's about learning. These things, like we don't call these things churches, we call them schools. Because they're institutions of learning. You come here, you learn, and you apply the scripture. But read on.
And they shall seek the law at his mouth.
That's what the priests are supposed to do. That's what Pope Francis is supposed to do. Now, Pope Francis, he's not teaching that because his whole agenda is to go completely contrary to what the Bible says. All right? Catholicism, Christianity, whatever, it can all be lumped into one thing, and it's one word. It's called Antichrist. It is the Antichrist. But back to the article. It says, Francis has previously endorsed civil unions for gay couples as an alternative to same-sex marriages while serving as Archbishop of Buenos Aires. But he never publicly voiced his support on the issue as Pope until the interview. So now he was the Archbishop over Buenos Aires, right? That's in Chile, right? Argentina, I'm sorry. So he may be from the tribe of Nephtali. He may not be. I'm going to say he's not. But even if he is, it's whatever. Now, while he was the archbishop over that particular country, then he had voiced his endorsement saying, no, yeah, it's a good thing. But ever since he's been Pope, he's never come out publicly and said it. That's why it's a big deal that he came out and said it. In this documentary, it says homosexual people have the right to be in a family. Francis said in the film, they are children of God. What we have to have is a civil union law. That way, they are legally covered. First off, give me Romans chapter 9, and I believe it's verse 7. Romans chapter 9, verse 7, because it says that they're able, or they should be able to do these things because they are children of God. Romans chapter 9, and give me, start at verse 6, actually.
Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel. Which are of Israel.
Let it read faster. Don't break up so much, right? It says, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Going back to my point, that's why I asked you the question. How many times have you heard in camp or in any situation where you're out passing flyers and someone says, oh, no, I'm good. Yes, I know I'm Israel. Listen, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Just because you are one of the 12 tribes of Israel doesn't guarantee you a ticket into the kingdom. You have to be applying God's commandments in the faith of Christ in order to get salvation. It says the righteous shall be scarcely saved. So if the righteous is scarcely saved, meaning that you're going to feel that fire, you're going to feel that thing, those loud bombs going off, it's going to be terrifying. That's why the prophet said that their stomachs turned within them. They pray that they would be asleep that day. It's going to be that dreadful and that terrifying. And the righteous are going to be scarcely saved. And you think oh no, because I know I'm Israel, I'm good. Hell no, it don't work like that. But read on verse 7.
Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, or they all children.
Because they have all those songs. You know, you grew up in Christianity, right? Father Abraham had many sons, right? I didn't even grow up in the church, but I know that song because that's how popular it is. Because they put that agenda. All nations of the earth are blessed because of Father Abraham. That's what they say. But it said, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Meaning, just because you come out of Abraham's loins doesn't mean that you're a child of God. Read.
But in Isaac shall thy seed be called.
But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, because the covenant passed from Adam to his lineage down to Noah, from his lineage down to Abraham, to his son Isaac, and then to his son Jacob. Read verse 8.
That is, they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God.
Uh-oh.
But the
children... Hold on. We gotta address that, because this is the New Testament, and people love the writings of Paul, right? They run to Paul's writings, but Paul lets you know, it says that these are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God. So when people are quick to make a statement and say, I'm a child of God, okay, if that's the case, then which child of God are you? Because you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are, where you come from, to know where you're going. And then you got to present to them the question, well, which child of God are you then? Because according to the Bible, there's only one nation of people that are children of God. So it would behoove you to start keeping the commandments and do some research to see if you can even fit into that fold.
Yeah.
That's why when there's people that are like, that, oh, well, you know what, I'm Caucasian. You know what, then this is your kingdom, bro. Live it up.
Thing.
Last thing you want to do is be a two-time loser. Go out there and live it up then. This is not for you. But it says that they are not the children of God. I'm going to read on here in this article. It says, again, homosexual people have the right to be in a family. Francis said in the film, they are children of God. Give me Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29. They have the right to be in a family. They are children of God. Now listen, we understand that the Most High created all people, but he created one nation of people that he's special to himself. And when he created these people, he put certain attributes in all of us. And there was no such thing as he put a gay gene in any one of his people. That is from our own lust that we've created in our own inventions. Read that. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. No, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright.
So now this is Solomon that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, all right? Understanding this, that when Solomon prayed, he prayed for much wisdom to be able to judge the nation of Israel. So because he didn't pray a selfish prayer, the Most High gave him not only wisdom, for he was the wisest man to walk the earth outside of Christ, but he gave him riches, he gave him authority, he gave him all these things.
Yeah.
So in all of his infinite wisdom, he understood the elements. He can tell you why fire did what fire does, where lightning comes from, where thunder comes from, all these things. He understood all the operations of the elements. And in his wisdom, he tells you, through all this, I'm telling you that God made man upright. There's no such thing as I was born this way. There's no such thing as that. And you're right, homosexuals can have a family. If they're from the children of Israel, they can repent and come and become part of the fold.
Yeah.
Because those that repent and keep the commandments, Christ said, those are my brothers, and those are my sisters, and those are my mothers, and those are my fathers. God's family requires tribulations. Have you ever heard in the world people say, I love you unconditionally?
Yeah.
Right. It's unconditional love. That's not biblical. There's conditions when it comes to the Most High God and how he is meant to be loved and how he loves us back. And that's by us keeping his commandments. Christ made it very clear, right? What did he say? If you love me,
keep my commandments.
Keep my commandments. That's it. So if you do the opposite, then you hate him. You think he's going to love you if you hate him?
No.
This ain't no carnal, worldly things, right? We have to subdue to understand that we learn in Christianity the hugs and kisses, and understand that we serve a harsh, severe God. I'm going to read on. It says, again, they are the children of God. What we have to have is a civil union law That way, they are legally covered. Give me Leviticus 18, verse 22. This is the last scripture. Oh, you got it?
I have the precept right there.
Okay. That's what I said.
Leviticus 18 and 22.
Because it said that they have to have a civil union law, right? Well, let's get the law on what Pope Francis is trying to abolish when the Bible says clearly that the laws are forever. That is our wisdom inside the nation. But we're gonna read that.
Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination.
It says we are not supposed to lie with mankind as with womankind. That's the law. That's the civil law that God gave us. Not this whole thing of changing and let's do this and I'm in support of this and everything goes. You can take that article down now, soldier. That was pretty much on that. I mean, you can read on. There's a little bit more, but it's nothing too crazy, right?
Can I say more, Captain?
Yeah, go ahead.
The one part, you know, I behave, you know, is when somebody's guilty about something, they're trying to find a way to cover it, and they'd be like, you know, God made me this way. Don't put the blame on the Most High. The Most High did not make you to be like that. You chose to go that different route.
Right. Listen, the Bible is very clear, and it tells you in the book of Sirach 32. It says, a sinful man will not be reproved, but finds an excuse according to his will.
Yeah.
Whether it be homosexuality, or whether it be eating pork, or whether it be like me, for instance, when I first came in, not having hot food. You would think, like, really of all things, not having hot food. But that thing was tough for me, bro. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my goodness, I don't know how. I'm like, ugh, cold chicken. Are you serious? But then I had to really sit back and really count the cost before I drank that cup. You know, listen. Is it really that bad? No, it's not. But like you said, people make an excuse, all right? I didn't really have to read any of the article. I could have just read just this freaking title where it says, Pope Francis supports law for same-sex civil unions in new documentary. They are children of God. From there, give me 2 Ezra 14, verse 16. 2 Ezra 14, verse 16. Read.
2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 16. For yet greater evil than those which thou hast seen happen shall be done hereafter.
It says, for yet greater evil than those which thou hast seen happen shall be done hereafter. So sin is going to increase in these last days. So when I saw this, I wasn't like, the Pope? What? Because I know that the Pope is under the banner of all the evil that's being pushed in the earth today. All the things to keep our people in sin, all the hidden agendas that are meant to target our people, and if a few of their people get sprinkled into it, then they're called casualties of war. I understand that. So when I saw that, it didn't strike a nerve or anything. If anything, it increased my faith, because this scripture right here says, those things shall increase in the earth in the last days. Don't be surprised, but just do what Christ said. Watch as well as pray. Give me Job 9, verse 24. Now, this is the reason why sin and all manner of iniquity are able to be increased in these last days, because of Job chapter 9 and verse 24. I was in the truth for like 6 months saying Job before someone corrected me. I said, man, you guys got hatred on you, man. I was like, really? You've been letting me go to flyer missions and read the book of Job for the past 6 months and no one ever told me nothing? I'm like, come on, man. Job 9, verse 24.
Job chapter 9, verse 24. The earth is given unto the hand of the wicked.
When you read in the book of Malachi, the first chapter and the first verse to verse 4, it explains the wicked is Esau. Listen, the Bible is very, very, very repetitive, right? It says the same things. It tells you that God's only dealing with the children of Israel. Someone says, I'm a child of God. You got to go and talk about who are God's children. The children of Israel. You never, ever see a scripture that says, and the children of the Jebusites.
No.
And the children of the Moabites. It calls us the children of Israel because we are the children of the Most High God. All right? But it's very repetitive that God is dealing with the nation of Israel. and that we have to keep his commandments and obey to the Son. And the third thing that's repeated over and over again is that the wicked, those that are fitted for destruction, is the entire race of the Edomites, the Caucasian race. They are the wicked. They are the ones pushing Antichrist in the earth right now. Read on. He covered the face of the judge thereof. He turned Christ from being a dark-skinned black man with woolly hair into an effeminate-looking Caucasian man with colored eyes. He changed all the prophets. He changed the Most High God from being a black man into a Caucasian man. He changed the faces of the judges thereof. That way, he can have three overseers overseeing 300 slaves on a plantation. Because when we looked at master, we saw God. And we look at each other, and we have that hate, all those things that were taught to us in Willie Lynch. We'll read on.
And who, and
if not,
where and who is he?
So that's the question. If it's not this man, then who is it? If it's not this man, then who else is putting themselves up as God, Christ, the angels, so on and so forth, making all these laws, saying that, listen, because they are children of God, they should be able to have same-sex marriage? That's not biblical. And we read that the priest's lips should keep knowledge and that we should seek the law at his mouth. The law just says that homosexuality is a sin. Nothing changed in the New Testament. You could read in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. You could read that in Timothy's, the 1st chapter. I mean, it's all through the New Testament as well. But the fact that the New Testament is a recitation of the Old Testament, it's just a, listen, Paul, Christ, everyone that wrote the New Testament, they're just abbreviating what the Old Testament said. So it may not be as plain as it is in the Old Testament, but it's still there in the New One as well, too. Under Christ, homosexuality is still a sin. Christ dying didn't mean that men can have rods in their behinds. That's disgusting and filthy as hell,
yeah.
Right? But the reason why those things are able to be pushed in the earth so heavily is because what we just read here. The earth is what?
The earth is given into the hand of the wicked.
So if the earth is given into the hands of the wicked to do what he wants, you think he's not going to push evil? Yeah. Of course he is. He pushes evil because he has to keep us asleep to who we are. Now, give me Isaiah 1 verse 9. This is why this scripture right here, because out of everything, when you really sit back and you really evaluate it, right, when you really think about it, there's so much sin being pushed in the earth, right? There's so much sin. There's, they say, hey, pork is the new white meat. The bishop had just posted on our captain's feed all the things that they're putting pork into right now. And it would, bro, it's incredible how much pork is in everything, right? The scripture says that we would eat our food defiled amongst the Gentiles, right? It doesn't mean to say, oh, F it, it's in everything anyway, so let me just eat this poor pork sandwich. Let's not be ignorant. You still keep the law to the best of your ability, right? But they're putting it in everything, okay? He has some infatuation with pork. It's crazy. But out of all these things, the biggest, biggest sin, if you really sit back and evaluate it, that he's pushing, is that evil concupiscence. It's that homosexuality. It's that Sodom agenda. He's pushing that heavy, heavy here in these last days. Because you grew up in the Christian church 25 years ago. Could you be openly gay in the Christian church?
No.
No, it was like unheard of, right?
No.
Now they have gay Christian churches because they desensitize our people over a supposition of time. Then eventually, boom, now they slide in with the real agenda. And that's pushing this homosexuality thing on our people, and this is why. Give me that. Isaiah 1, verse 9.
Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we shall have been as Sodom, and we shall have been like unto Gomorrah.
You see that? You see what the Bible just said? It says, if it wasn't for God leaving a small remnant, meaning preserving people that weren't going to bow to the knees to Baal, not given to that evil, evil concupiscence and lust and everything else. It says if it wasn't for God doing that, then it says every single last one of us would have been homosexuals. Every single last one of us. That's how heavy that spirit really is. That's why that's the spirit that Esau said, that's the one that we're going to use the most. That's the one that we're going to use to push into the earth to keep them in sin. Because we're going to start with little pockets here and there, We can't do it overly at first, because then they'll reject it. Little things here and there, little subtle movements, and then next you know, like me, for instance, I have a cousin that was married with two kids. He left his wife, and now he's engaged to a man. That's completely as backwards with the Most High God. God made man to be upright, but that's the stuff that our people think is, oh, I'm so happy for him because now he can be who he really is.
Accepting for who he is, except for who she is.
Acceptance, 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 hugs. Oh, I'm so sorry that you went all those years pretending to be something that you're not. Hell no, you got to rebuke that thing. Give me Ezekiel. This is popping. Give me Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. But that's why Esau uses that particular sin to push the most, because they know how strong and how evil that spirit is. Because, listen, anybody that I've come across in this truth in the 9 years that I've been here that had dealt with that spirit in the world, and I see them repenting, man, that thing increases my faith to the utmost ability, because homosexuals tend to be the most prideful, arrogant, cocky, disrespectful people on this planet Earth, because it's, don't look at my sin, but look at yours.
Yeah.
And then they'll be quick to point out something that's wrong with you. Oh, you didn't used to do this. Oh, you didn't used to do that. Meanwhile, homosexual Henry is telling you that he's a Christian, right? And tells you that he has repentance in Christ.
Yeah.
But then when you point out his sin, he's quick to tell you, well, didn't you used to do this? But homosexual Henry, I just thought that I had repentance in Christ. See the hypocrisy? He can point out your sin because you're pointing out his sin, and then you just go and circle. It's ridiculous. Ezekiel 9 and verse 4. This is what we're commanded to do as a people here in these last days. It's, we learn this truth, we apply these laws to our life, but it's not just us. We have a whole lot of brothers and sisters that have to wake up. 1/3 of the nation of Israel will make it to the kingdom. So it's up to every single last one of us, as pillars, as the men being pillars and women being that support as well, to push this truth as hard and as much as we can. And this is what we got to do. Ezekiel 9 verse 4.
Ezekiel chapter 9 verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go to the midst of the city, to the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sight.
That sigh.
That sigh. And that cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst of thereof.
You see that? We are supposed to sigh and cry and mark the people that also see these things and they're not upright. Because there's people that may not come under the banner of this just yet, but they can see things like Pope Francis saying, listen, let them have same-sex marriage because they're children of God. Let them do this because they're children of God. Let's push this because they're children of God. Let's do this because the earth is given into the hand of the wicked. There's people that may not have the umbrella covering of being Israel just yet, but they can see the things being pushed, right? That's why you have things kind of like Black Lives Matter. Although we know that that's a farce and that it's completely against Black Lives in general,
fake.
There's people that join up with that, of all people, that genuinely do it because they want to see help and the embetterment of their people. So we as a people, we understand that agenda is very heavy, and we got to mark those people that also see it and say, listen, this is the way, walk you in. Give me Isaiah 30, the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, and verse 9. Isaiah 30 and verse 9. When you got to read it.
Isaiah chapter 30, verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord.
It says that this is a rebellious people. That's our people in a nutshell. We're rebellious and we will not hear the what of the Lord? And they now wouldn't hear the what?
Lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord.
Our people don't want to hear God's laws. They want to hear the laws that Pope Francis says, hey, let's come together and push these civil laws to make it to where same-sex union can be achieved in the earth. They want to hear the laws that have been pushed by man and not by God, because God's laws discipline you and put you in a box and says you can't do none of these things that you want to do. But on the flip side, if you abstain from these things, then you get what? Eternal life.
Yeah.
I mean that sounds like a no-brainer to me. Faith come by hearing, and hearing come by the word of God. But read on.
Verse 10, which say that the seers see not.
They say to the seers, see not. Don't say to us the things that are written in that Bible. Don't teach us uprightly, all right? Because that's the Old Testament. Throw that away. We're now under Christ. Christ died for our sins so we can do whatever we want. And Christ did not die so you can be lawless. Contrary, Christ magnified the law. But read on.
And to the prophet prophesied, not unto us right things.
Read.
Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit.
So our people, the Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives, they want us to speak unto them smooth things. You know what? You're right. You were born that way. Hell no, you weren't born that way. God made you upright. You have a lust that's inside of you that you need to self-examine and apply the laws that pertain to having that spirit leave you and discipline yourself enough when it comes back, you can overcome it again. Because it's going to come back. And then find that house nice and garnished. Ooh, it's all swept and clean. Okay, no one's been here. Let me come back with 7 friends. You got something?
The thing is, they get to the comfortable stage. And then when they get in that comfortable stage, it's like, oh, I can't leave this, you know. So they rather stay, like you say, smooth. They rather stay in that little bubble. It's like, it's so hard.
That's actually a really good point you just made. Give me Hebrews 5. Because you said that they kind of get into a comfort zone, right? Give me Hebrews. No, I'm sorry, it's not 5. It's Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3, verse 4. That's why Paul made mention. He said, listen, we die daily. He said, I die daily. But we as examples that follow Paul, because Paul followed Christ, right? He said, be ye a follower of me, even as I am a follower of Christ. So when Paul says, I die daily, then who are we to think that we shouldn't have that same exact mindset? None of us have it right. None of us have it right. None of us have it right. So we should do the same thing and die daily. Examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith or repent from sin. Like the officer just said, our people get into that mindset of getting comfortable. But that's why we have to apply this. Hebrews 3, verse 14.
Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ.
For we are made partakers of Christ. Read.
If we are
only made partakers of Christ, we are only those children of God, okay? Because people are quick to say that I'm a child of God. Not understanding, listen, to be a child of God means that you have stipulations to uphold. It says, for we are made partakers of Christ if, that's like, you know, there's a stipulation. It's not just something that's freely given. It's not just, ha, blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not like that. That's fairy tales. Subdue that understanding before time runs out. But we are made partakers of Christ if.
If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end.
So going back to what you said, people be comfortable, right? They've been in this now a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they start to ease up a little bit on the pedal, and they go into cruise control. Don't ever, ever let go of that steering wheel. Ever. Continue to drive and focus on the kingdom of heaven that's set before you. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 5. I haven't really a class written down, but I had a bunch of scriptures, and I'm not going to get to a lot of them. But it is what it is. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 5. So like the officer said, listen, don't get comfortable, but hold on to that confidence steadfast to the end. When you first came in, you were on fire for this truth.
Yeah.
When there was nothing on this entire planet Earth that meant anything or had any value above how you saw the scriptures, how it was being unlocked and read to you and brought out to you, how you stopped doing all the things that you love to do, to study and apply, hold that same confidence until the very end. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 5.
The wrong one. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing.
So whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. All right? If you keep the commandments, then you're going to continue to endure. It's not going to always be easy. It's going to be difficult at times. Understand this. When things get difficult, all right, hold this real quick and give me Romans 5, verse 3. Romans 5, verse 3. We're going back to that. I'll make a point real quick. And I'm not going to pull the rest of scriptures and go with it, but I'm going to make a point real fast. Romans 5, verse 3.
Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that the tribulation worketh patience.
That's all I wanted there. It said not only so, not only during the good times should you glorify God, but that much the more in bad times. And this is why. This is the point I'm going to make. When you read in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the 6th verse on down, you just heard verse 1 even. Just read on down. It tells you that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, right? Mm-hmm. And whom that he has accepted as sons, those are the ones that he punishes. So when things are going good for you, you get the job, you get the house you wanted, you get the car, monetarily, you're doing great, you're able to get more alms. Listen, that's all the Lord, all praises. I'm not saying that you sit there and you're like, man, God's blessing me in captivity. I'm getting comfortable in captivity. No, listen, you can have abundance. You can have nice things. That's fine, all right? There's nothing ungodly about having nice things. But the point I want, though, is when you're going through the bad times, when you're going through the trials and tribulations, as much as it's in us to have that fight or flight mentality, you know, and a lot of times we want to choose flight because it's easier to go back to what we used to do. Because, like me, for instance, I was 25 when I first came into the truth. That means for 25 years, I learned to live a certain way, right? I'm 34 now. That means I still have 16 more years to catch up as far as equal time in the truth and equal time in the world. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's easy for us when we're going through it, when we're 6 months in, a year in, 5 years in, to be like, damn, back when I was, you know, nigga cool in the world, I was never going through these afflictions. Let me just revert back to that. It's very easy. But it tells you that God chastens those that he deals with as children. And if you don't have that chastening, it says that you're what? A bastard, it says, right?
Yeah.
That means fatherless. That means you're not a child of God. So when you're going through those trials and tribulations, give glory to God, because that's a sign that God's showing you, I'm still dealing with you. That's why you got to give glory to God through those tribulations, because that's God telling you, listen, I know it sucks. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. But this is me letting you know that I'm still dealing with you as one of my children.
But that's not what most of us does. When we go into tribulation, again, we go back to a comfortable stage, like, you know, because we feel like that's the only way, that's our way out.
Because that's the easy way. That's why. That's the easy thing to do. But that's why Christ said, I give you straight commandments, meaning they're straight. They're hard. Listen, narrow is the path, straight is the way, right? And then the way it leads to destruction, it says it's like a broad horizon, a broad field. It's supposed to be hard. Through much tribulation, we get the kingdom. Having the title of a child of God, right, it means something for those that understand who God is and who God's for. It actually means something. It's not just something to say that makes you feel good and everything else. It should make you feel good when you understand things like Deuteronomy 7 and 6 about how about you're above all nations. It should make you feel a certain way. But now let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5 again.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil.
So if you keep the commandments, you will feel no evil, no evil thing. Eventually, you will get that salvation that you so earnestly covet. We all want the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, why are we here? It says you keep the commandments, then that's the assurance of feeling no evil thing. Read.
And a wise man's heart discerning both time and judgment.
And a wise man's heart discerning both time and judgment. Give me 2 Ezra 14, verse 11. That wise brother or that wise sister will be able to understand both time and judgment.
Ezra chapter 14, verse 11. For the world is divided in 12 parts.
So the world is divided into 12 parts. So you take a clock, you have 12 different numbers. It goes from 1 all the way around to 12. The world is divided into 12 parts. Read.
And the tenth part of it are gone already.
So you take that same face of the clock and you move the hands from 12 all the way around to now it's facing number 10, right? So from 1 all the way up to 10, it's already gone away. During Ezra's time, it's telling you that the 10 parts of that 12 parts is already done and finished. And Ezra wrote this thousands of years ago, letting you know that a wise man's heart is going to discern both time and judgment. Understanding what? That time is short. That it's not time for us to fall for the foolery of Pope Francis and everything else being pushed in the earth. It's not time for those things. It's time for us to watch as well as pray, for our salvation draws nearer than we believe. Read.
And half of 10th part.
It says, a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. You mean 2 Ezra chapter 9 and verse 7. So the time we discovered, the 10 parts of that 12 is already gone. So we don't know if we're, I mean, hell, we could be at 10:05, because like we established in the first part of the class was that the Most High sees time differently. Or we could be at 11:59. You never know. But because you don't know, it would behoove every single last one of us to not put off until tomorrow, but start getting yourself right today. King David in the spirit said something. And I remember when I first came into this walk, it was literally one of the first scriptures I ever heard when he said, I made haste and I delayed not to keep the commandments. I said, damn, that's how I'm going to treat this walk. So I remember one day I had some lunch. I had some jumbo shrimps, right? Bigger than that Bible right there, right? I mean, I had these monster shrimps, and I walk over to Officer Issachar, who back then was brother. You know, I ain't going to put a slave name out there. But I'm like, hey, bro, you want some? Oh, no, that's a sin. Here, show me. He showed me. So I threw them away. I didn't know that, but he showed me, and then so I applied it because I remember reading that scripture in Psalm 119, verse 60. I made haste and delayed not. Everything I learned, I started applying. Because I believe Psalm 111:10, where it said that a good understanding of all they that do his commandments. I said, damn, I never understood nothing in my life as far as anything that had any kind of substance and value. Who wouldn't want to understand how to obtain salvation and everlasting life? So if the keys for me to obtain salvation and everlasting life is to understand what the Bible says, then I'm going to apply everything I learned and not even make an excuse about it. Yeah. Brother, grow a beard. Okay. Got fired like 2 weeks later. I was like, what did he do? Instead of grow a beard. Not using wisdom, right? Because wisdom rains down skill, right? Back then, I was just fervent and on fire. I said, the hell with you, the hell with you. You're cool, but the hell with you, the hell with you, the hell with you. Right? But
2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 7.
Yeah, read that. So now, we discussed the time part. So now let's discuss the judgment, because a wise man doesn't understand that there's judgment coming, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Both are just with the Most High God. Read that.
2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 7. And everyone that shall be saved and shall be able to escape by his work.
So everyone that's going to be saved and be escaped by his works. His works are the application of the commandments. Read.
And by faith.
And by faith. So it's the application of God's laws in your life and the faith that Christ was the ultimate sacrifice for the atonement of the nation of Israel. Read.
Whereby ye have believed.
Read on.
Verse 8. Shall be preserved from the said peril.
And what, jump on to verse 9.
Verse 9. Then shall they be in pitiful case, which now have abused my ways.
So now the people that abuse God's ways are those people that want to go after their own lusts in this lifetime, that want to do everything contrary to what the Bible says because they don't stand that this book is the book of life. This is the only true book that's in the earth today, but because they believe the lie that's been pushed so thoroughly and so subtly by our oppressor during this liberty time, while we have grace, it says that we, as a people, abuse God's ways. Read.
And they that have cast them away despitefully shall dwell in torment.
The torment is talking about the second death. There's no escaping judgment with the Most High God. My father tells me, or he has told me before, he doesn't tell me no more because I don't talk about the scripture with him anymore. He's told me a lot. Well, if that is true, by the time Christ comes back, I'll be dead anyways. And that may be true. He may be dead by the time Christ returns. I don't know. I can't call it. The Most High could turn up the heat and Christ could return tomorrow. I don't know. But that doesn't matter because you still ain't getting away. Your costume, yes, will pass away. But that spirit that's within you, that's going to be judged. And that fire is going to hold on to that thing. It's going to burn forever. Over and over and over again. So going back to Ecclesiastes 8, when it tells you that a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, knowing that time is short and that that torment is a second death, we can't as a people fathom forever. We really can't. You can't fathom something that goes forever because God gave us time.
Yeah.
He gave us time and references for everything. So everything we know, okay, if I go to bed at 11 and get up at 6, I get 7 hours of sleep. I have to be to work by 8, so I have to leave by 7:30 because it takes 30 minutes, right? Everything we do is time-related. So we can't think of forever. But you're going to burn forever? So a wise man is going to say, damn, I don't want to burn forever. I want the flip side of that, and I want that salvation. But the earth is given into the hands of the wicked. His agenda is being pushed. It's being pushed, right? But like I said, you can't stop what God says is going to happen. His children will wake up, and we're waking up right now. And we're waking up at a rapid rate. He can't stop it. He can only hope to contain it, right? Like the old saying goes. Last scripture. Give me 1 Peter 2, verse 17. I had way more stuff, but I was actually going to go into how Catholics pull that Peter was the first pope and everything else. But Lord willing, I'll do like a series of all the disgusting man-made religions out there, starting with Catholicism on to Christianity and Islam and everything else. Mm. One by one, pick them all apart.
That's all crazy.
1 Peter 2, verse 17.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17.
And read it right. This is my favorite scripture.
Honor all men.
Honor all men.
Love the brotherhood.
Love the brotherhood. Listen, understand and love and appreciate what you're a part of. Understand that what you're a part of, 2 out of every 3 of our people are going to die because they don't love that thing. Even people that come here regularly don't love the brotherhood. They think it's just a check in the box. You got to give your whole life to this, right? You can't be one toe in the truth, 1 foot in the world. It doesn't work like that. You got to be fervent and hot and on fire for God. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Read.
Fear God, honor the king.
Fear God and honor the king. All right, with that, I pray that there was some edification. Lord willing, we'll be on Saturday. And Lord's Will Life Last will be on again next Wednesday. All right, for the Power Hour. Again, I am Captain Amariah with
Officer Jehoiada.
From the mighty tribe of
Levi.
All praise the Most High in Christ. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom. That's crazy. You give me side of mind, man. The child of God. You know, they would not do that in Haiti, right?
So what?
Side of mind. You get burned easily.
Military. I'll wait for it.
Who's that? Damn. Hold on, you
hear
me? No. Okay. Oh, shoot, yeah, right here.